Hare Krishna. So what are your names? Jishnu. Jai. This is Arjun's name, isn't it? Arjuna. We had a Jishnu who he went back to Kolkata. This young man. And how do you spell it? Shoham. Shoham. That one. Oh, okay, yes. That is what Dhruva Maharaj. You know who Dhruva Maharaj is? He was chanting Shoham. Prabhuji?
My name is Savyasachi.
Savyasachi, so is Arjuna again. Yes, and Mataji?
Nandini.
Nandini, Hare Krishna. So we will chant some auspicious mantras. Let me turn the mic, it's too loud. I'll turn it down. Hare Krishna. So we are going to chant some mantras for the, as Dipti Basu is the beneficiary, the recipient of the auspiciousness and punya that is there created by the chanting of Bhagavad Gita. Now, do any of you know how powerful Bhagavad Gita chanting is? It is. Have you ever heard Gita Mahatmya? So Gita Mahatmya is Lord Shiva speaking to Parvati. And he is telling her the glories of chanting Gita. And he gives many wonderful stories of how people were benefited by such chanting. So, let me see if I can remember one story from Gita Mahatmya. There was once a Brahmin, and he was a talented musician. And he was so talented that he became quite famous. And he was so famous that even the king of the country sought his company. So the king invited him to stay in his palace. And because of the fame, because of the association with this king who was not a very pious king, he became very much degraded. Like a modern rock star. You know, he's a musician. Yeah. So he wasn't really Brahmin. He was more like a modern rock star. And staying with the king, he married this one lady. This lady was also very degraded, very badly behaved. And one day, this musician, he came to know of his wife was having an affair. And when she learned that he was knowledgeable about this, she got him killed. And then that lady later on, she died herself of diseases, you know, from her bad behavior. Jai Shishi Radha Kalachanjiki. So after death, they went to see Yamaraj. Do you know who Yamaraj is? Yamaraj is the demigod of death. Yama means death. And he takes those who are sinful, who do horrible things, and he takes them to be judged for their actions. And then in the next life, they receive their karma, their results. So this person was living a very bad life, and they had done many bad things. And so they had suffered. They went down to Patalok, hellish planets, and suffered. Same thing with the wife. Again, Patalok, and suffered. And next birth. Now, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yam yam vapi smaran bhavan chajate ante kalevaram tam tam aivaiti kunteya sadadhat bhava bhavitaha. Whatever consciousness you have, whatever you remember at the time of death, that state you will attain without fail. Meaning you'll get a body that suits your mentality. So this musician, so-called Brahman, and his wife, they were behaving more like animals. So next life they were not given the gift of a human life. Now here's a question for you and Shoham. What can you do as a human that you cannot do as an animal? Every species can communicate. They may not speak Hindi or English, but they definitely can communicate. What can a human do that a bear is less powerful than a human? A lion? The mind. Now, if I use my brain to make a big building to sleep in, and the bear uses his brain to build a cave, what is the difference? Not really any different. If I use my brain and I make big weapons, and the lion uses his claws, it is the same activity. Now tell me, in which way can you use your brain that animals cannot use? Have you ever been to India? Yes. Have you ever seen the pigs there?
No.
No? What? Okay. Some places they have more than others. So a pig, where does a pig like to go?
Yeah.
In the sewer. Yucky place. So if we were to invite a pig to this temple room to discuss and ask these questions, would the pig be interested?
No.
He would say, where is the sewer, if he could speak to us? He said, this is not interesting. No, yeah. So he would be very disappointed. So human life means we can ask, who am I? What is God? Who is God? What is the purpose of life? Now, as an animal, you don't have the brain to do that. For example, when the tiger kills the tiger cannot think of the question, should I have killed that deer? Correct? He doesn't have that type of introspection. But a human can think, is it okay for me to kill an animal? Is that right or wrong? A human can think these things. So this couple were born as birds. The husband was born as a vulture. And the wife was born as a parrot. So it is actually a great downgrade, because you cannot practice spiritual life. You don't have that freedom as an animal. So, due to some extraordinary circumstance, the husband could remember, could understand, because he came across, as a vulture, he came across that parrot. And he could understand, this lady, she had killed me. Therefore, I will get her. And so, a big fight was started between the vulture and the parrot. And there was a hunter who was watching in the forest. And he was thinking, here is my opportunity. So he pulled out an arrow and he struck both of them. They both fell down injured. They fell all the way down to the bottom of the forest. And the bottom of the forest, there was a human skull. Somebody had passed away many years ago. They had, were actually, a human skull was there. And because it's been, was there for so long, there was, it's just an old, skeleton. And there was water inside in the skull. And their head fell in the water. And they died. Next time, they went to see Yamaraj. And Yamaraj said, you have no more sin. You're free from pap. You can now take birth as a human and progress in your spiritual life. Now they were very afraid of meeting Yamaraj. They understood that. But they're very confused. What do you mean we have no sin? We have not done anything good yet. And we're still paying for our past. And he said, that skull that you fell in the water, of that skull was a bhakta. And he chanted Bhagavad Gita daily. And simply by touching the water contained in his skeleton, you have now been freed from all sin. Now, skeleton is not considered a very auspicious thing, isn't it? But he was so auspicious that even the skeleton was auspicious. And how was that from? From recitation of Bhagavad Gita. Now there is a unique story for each chapter. I do not remember what chapter this was for, but Lord Shiva is telling these stories to Parvati. This special story for each particular chapter. And each story is quite amazing. One story, a person is a husband and wife had become ghost. And she asked her husband, who had formerly been a Brahmin, how can we be free from this ghostly form? And the husband said, you have to know what is spirit, what is the self, the soul, and what is karma? Now, because they spoke in Sanskrit, she said, "Kim tad brahma, kim adhyatmam, kim karma, kim purushottama." And who? And you have to know who's the supreme person. Those four questions. And so she asked that four questions, and before she got an answer, she was free. They both became liberated because she had accidentally recited the first verses in the eighth chapter, because she spoke Sanskrit. She, not even one verse, a half shlok, she said. Just one half shlok, and she was free. So that is the power of chanting Bhagavad Gita. It creates wonderful benedictions. So are you all ready to hear Bhagavad Gita? Thank you. So, one second. Any questions? Any question? Okay. So this is chapter 9. Chapter 9 is known as Rajavijaya. Do you know what does the word Raj mean? King. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Idam Tu Te Guyatamam Prabhakshami Anasuyave Jnana Vijnana Sahitam Yajgatva Mokshasheshubhat Raja Vija Raja Guyam Pavitram Medam Uttamam Pratyaksha Vagamam Dhamyam Susuktam Kartam Aveyam Ashradana Purusha Dharmasyasya Parantapam Apraptamam Nani Vartante Mityu Samsara Vartmani. So this chapter is divided into four sections, and those four sections make an acronym. K-I-N-G. What does that spell? King, yes. So the first three verses is for K, which means knowledge. So Krishna is saying to Arjuna, I will now speak to you something that is a great secret. Because you have no jealousy, anasuya. By understanding this knowledge and realization, gana gana sahitam, yat gatva moksha sheshuvat, you'll be free from ashub. You notice shub, auspiciousness, ashub, inauspiciousness. This knowledge is the Rajavija, king of education. Rajaguya, greatest of secrets. Now, if it's a secret, how is it right there? Everyone has heard Bhagavad Gita. Well, first, it takes realization to understand. It is not just book knowledge. And second, this knowledge is not readily available. For example, the first level of Bhagavad Gita teaches how you are not this physical body. The body is the car and the soul is the driver. Have you ever learned that in middle school? Elementary school? Do you think you'll learn that in college? No. So it is actually a great secret. The first thing that you should know is who am I, and not one. And in the whole educational process, they don't even cover that one subject. In fact, the illusion identity is compounded. For example, if you think you're Indian, you're an illusion. Why is that? You tell me why. I'll give you a hint. If I think I'm a blue Toyota, I'm an illusion, correct? Because I'm not a blue Toyota. But I drive a blue Toyota. But I am not a blue Toyota. Do you understand now? If you think you're Indian, that is an illusion. Do you get it? The body is not you. The body is the car. You are the driver. For example, how old are you? 14. Within 7 years, that means twice, within 7 years, every cell in your entire body is replaced. So if you think that body is you, then which one is it? The one you have today or the one you were born with? Because the one you were born with is not here today. Did you ever think about that? And you are how old?
Six.
So you're almost fully reincarnated. Welcome, come inside. We were discussing how reincarnation is a scientific fact. The body you have today is not the body that you were born with. Not one single molecule. Not one single cell. But you're here. Because you're not the body. Does that make sense? Where is the body that you were born with? It is not here. Not one atom of it is here. But you are here. You follow? The process of growth is that your old cells are replaced with new cells. So everything is replaced. But the same person is here. And therefore Bhagavad Gita is explaining that the person is not the body. And so Krishna says, this is a great secret. Rajavijirajaguyam. It is pavitram. It is very pure. Idam uttamam. It is supreme. Pratyakshavagamam. It gives direct perception of the self by realization. Therefore it is the perfection of dharma, because it is not something theoretical. It is something perceived. It is susukam. It is very joyfully performed. Spiritual life, if you're doing it right, then it should produce joy. And it is eternal, everlasting. And then he says, Ashradana Purusha, those who do not have faith in this process of bhakti, loving God, they return in the cycle of, they continuously reincarnate. So what is the next letter? I, yes. So K stands for knowledge, and I stands for the inconceivable relationships. So we'll continue. Mayatatam idam sarvam jagat avyaktamurtina matsarva sarvabhutani maichitam rantapa. I might need a refresher because I'm a little rusty on this chapter. Bhagavad Gita, thank you. Mayatatam idam sarvam jagat avyaktamurti matstani sarvabhutani nachaham teshtu vashtata nacha matstani bhutani paschame yoga maishwaram bhuta brittana bhutashto mamatma bhuta bhavana yata kashtastito nityam sarvayu sarvatamo go mahantata sarvani bhutani matstani padaya sarva bhutani kuntiya prakriti yanti mamekam kapakshaye panastani kapado vishajamyaham prakritim shvam abhashtabhya vishajami puna punaha bhutagramam idam kitsnam avasham prakritir vashat nachamatani karmani nibadananti dananjaya udasinad mad asinam mashaktam tishu karmashu Maya dakshena prakati suyate sacharacharam hetunanena kunteya jagat vipari partate avajananti mamudha. Hare Krishna. So this section is discussing the inconceivable quality of God being present everywhere and at the same time independent of everything, being controlling everything, yet everything is given independence. The example he gives is that the sky and the air flows through the sky or the atmosphere. The atmosphere can be just like a bowl, upside down bowl. And air is flowing freely through it, but it is still limited by the atmosphere. So Krishna is discussing how he is supervising the world, but he is unaffected by the world. It's a very elaborate subject, but we're just kind of going over it. So he says, Maya dakshena, by my supervision, everything, suyate sacharacharam, all moving and non-moving creatures are maintained and created. But he is udasinad marasinam, he is seated as if neutral. He is not affected by all this work. Nachamantani karmani nibadananti, he is not affected by this action. Now if you control something, manage something, you are automatically involved and connected and affected by that situation. But he's saying that actually God is actually unaffected by all these different activities. So what's the next letter? N. So then The next section is called non-devotional worship, other forms of worshiping God that are not in the form of personalism. So he describes all different types of people who may worship him in different ways. Avajananti mam mudha manushim tanam ashrita parampavam ajananto mamabhuta maheshwaram mogashyamaga karmano mogakyana vichetasaha rakshasam asuram chaiva prakatim mohinam shritaha Mahatmanastumam partha daivam prakatam mashita vajantiatma manaso ketpabudham avayam satatam kritayantomam yatantascha dardavrataha namashantastumam bhaktya nityukta pasate jnana yagena cha panye yajantamam pasate ekatmena pritakbena bahuda vishyatomakam aham kratu aham yagya swadaham aham ashudam manchaham aham evejam aham magniraham hutam pitaham asya jagata matadata pitamaha vejam pavitam omkara yaksham yachur evacha Gatir bharta pabu shakshi nivasa sharanam suhit prapaba plainam stanam nijabujam avayam tapyaham maham parsham nigranami ushi jamecha mitishchaiva mitishcha sarashachaham arjuna chavidya mam soma paputa papa yagyasvagatam papayate te punyama shadrashendalokan ashnanti divyan divideva bhogan te tam bhuktva shagatam vishalam shine punyama tyavlokam vishanti evam chai dharmanu prapana gatam gatam kamalabante. So Krishna says, avajananti mam mudha. So what is mudha? You know this word? How about murkho? In that word? Fool. Fool. So Krishna is saying in Sanskrit, mudha means fool. Avajananti mam mudha. The fools, avajananti, they do not know me. Manushim tanam ashrita, who have appeared as a human being. So now, when God comes to this world, He is not a human. He may appear like a human being, because that's where humans come from. Therefore, we share some qualities similar to God. Avajananti mam mudha manushim tanam ashritam param bhavam anjananto. They do not know my supreme existence, Mama Bhuta Maheshwaram, and my lordship over all beings. And one who does not have faith in the Lord, Mogasya, their hopes, Moga Jnana, their knowledge, Mogasya Moga Karmano, their results of their actions. Moga jnana, moga shikamo karma, moga jnana vichetasa rakshasam chayasa. They cannot hold on to those things. For example, when a person passes away, we cannot take our wealth, we cannot take our education, we cannot take anything other than our spiritual activities. And then he explains, but on the other side, but those who have faith in God. Mahatmanas. Have you ever heard the word Mahatma? Mahatma? Yes. Now, Krishna gives a very special definition. Mahatma is not a political figure. One does not become a Mahatma by fighting for their country. He says, Mahatmanas tumam partha, daivam prakritim ashrita. A person becomes a Mahatma by taking shelter in God. Daivam prakritim ashrita. Knowing param bhavam. Daivam prakritim ashrita. Mama bhutim. 1 second. Bhajantyan mamanaso gatvabhudham avayam. Such a mahatma, they fully engage in service to God with love. Because they know Him as the original and inexhaustible. And what do they do? How are they engaging in this service? Satatam. They're always kirtayantomam, chanting the Lord's glories. Yatantascha dridavrata, with firm faith and conviction. Namashantastamam bhakta, netu yukta. They take great pleasure in this. And then he begins to describe, he's explained those who don't worship at all, and then those who do worship, and then now he's explaining those who worship, but not directly, that get just a little bit of the picture, but not the whole picture. Gyana yagena chapanye yajantamam pasate ekatvena pritagvena bahuda avishatomakam. There are those who worship me as one within everything. Those who worship my Vishwarup, my universal form. And those who worship devatas. Do you know what a devata is? Agni, Indra, Soma, Ganesh, Shiva. Bhagavad Gita teaches that there's only one God, but He has a lot of employees. That is called a devata. Devata, other than Shiva, all the devatas are born and they die. They have lifespans. In the American language, colloquial language, we will say angels. That would be the word that they use. Not necessarily God, because God is not a person who has a birth or a death. So he begins to describe how he is within everything. So he says, "Aham kratu, aham yagya." I am the different elements of the sacrifice. Aham kratu, aham yagya, smadham, aham chamacharam, devidama. Pitamaham asya jagata. I am the father of all the universes. Mata data, pitamaha. I'm the mother. Pitamaha. I am the grandfather. Vedyam pavitam omkara. I'm the Vedas. I'm the Om in the Vedas. I'm the Rik, Yajra, and Samaveda. Gatirbhata purushakshi. I am the bow, the master, the goal, the witness, the refuge, and the supreme goal. I give and withhold heat, and I provide the rain. Tapya hamaham. I am death and life. Both matter and spirit are within me. So that's kind of a universal vision. Then he begins to explain the devatas. He says, Travedyamam Soma Bhutapa. You ever heard of Soma? Soma Ras? So, someone may perform this yagyas to get Soma Ras. Do all the prescribed rituals. And so he says, a person may do this. If one performs these punya properly, they can go to a higher planet and enjoy Somaras. Now, Earth is considered a third class life. There are planets much higher. We are like the topmost of the bottom of lokas. We're like in the middle, but we're on the bottom of the middle of classification of life in the universe. There are planets where people live hundreds of thousands of years. Millions of years. How long does Brahma live? The highest planet, the most elevated being in this universe? He lives 311 trillion years. 311 trillion. His lifespan is the lifespan of our universe. That's how long he lives. So Earth is really down there. But he says, if you perform all these karma kandya rituals, you can enjoy in the higher planets. But then he gives this comment. He says, but what do you gain? You cannot stay there. And when shine punya martya lokam vishanti. Have any of you been on a nice vacation?
Vacation?
Yeah. Where did you go?
I went to San Antonio.
San Antonio. So say you go on to a cruise. Can you stay on the cruise? Can you stay on the cruise?
For eternity?
Yeah.
No.
How about 50 years? Money runs out. Isn't it? You're not making money on the cruise, you're expending the money. So if you go to Swarga Lok, you're not making punya, you're expending punya. If you go to the higher planets. So he says, Shene punya. Punya means your pious, your good actions. Not spiritual, but just good actions. Shine punya martyalokam vishanti. Now they call this world of earth martyaloka, the place of death, where, because people only live 100 years. It's very short. Martyaloka vishanti. That's the average longest lifespan would be 100 years. They fall down back to earth when their credit runs out. So Krishna in this verse, he says, what is the point of worshipping devas? If you worship somebody that is temporary, then your result is temporary. But if you worship God who is eternal, then your result is eternal. So what's the last letter? G. Aranyaschintayanto mam. Ananyaschintayanto mam tishu. I'm rusty, sorry. Ye jana parupashate tesham nitya biyuktam nam yogakshamam vaham yaham. Ye pe anya devata bhakta yajante mam sharayanvitaha tepi mam eva kunte yajanti vidhi purvakam. Aham hi sarve yajnam bhukta cha prabhu eva cha natumab abhijananti yavanchastasmi chatvataha yavanachastavayanti te yanti deva prita devan priti yanti priti vita bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti mam yajino pivam patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prachiti taraham bhakta parhitam ashnami priyatatmanaha yat karoshi yat ashnashi yat chohosi yat tadasi yat yat tapasyasya kunteya tat kurvasman madarpanam nat tat. Shubha shabai palevam mokshase karma bandhanai sanyasa yoga yuktatma vimuktamam upashyasi samaham sarvabhuteshu namadveshtinostinapriya yebachantitamam bhakta maiteshu chapyaham api chet sudaracharu bhajane mam ananya bhaksadareva samantavyasam yagravito hisaha shipamavatmi dharmatma swashantim nigachiti kunteya pratijanehi name bhakti pranashiti mamhi partha pratyashitya yepi shu papayonaha shriya vaishasata shudras tepi mam paramgatim manbat bhakta mad bhakto mam yaji mam naskuru mam eva siddhi uktaivam atmanam mat parayanaha. Om Tat Sat Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Supanasastru Brahmavidyayam Yoga Sastri Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade Gyana Vigana Yoga Raja Vijayaji Guya Yoga Navamudhyayaha. So G stands for glories of bhakti. What does K stand for? And I stands for inconceivable relationships, and N? Non-devotional worship. And here's, now he's talking about the devotional worship, the glories of bhakti. So in contrast to the worship of the devatas, he says, one who worships me, I will help them in so many ways. I will carry what they lack. I will preserve what they have. I will always be there for him. Because they're approaching me with devotion, and therefore I respond accordingly. He says, here, ananyaschintayantamam, then he goes, those who are worshipping the devatas, they're actually worshipping me, Shariyanvata, those who worship devatas with faith. But they're worshipping me and not in the right way. Avidhi, vidhi means rules. Avidhi purvakam, they're worshipping me but not directly. Because aham hi sarva yaganam bhoktacha prabhu evicha, I am the ultimate beneficiary of the yagyas, of all yagyas and all sacrifices. And those who do not recognize this nature, they stay in this world, they fall down. Chava yanti te. Yanti deva aprita deva. Those who worship the angels, they will go to the planets of the angels. Yanti deva prita devan priti yanti priti prita. Those who worship the forefathers, they will go to the planets of the forefathers. Yanti bhuteja, those who worship the bhoots. You know what a bhoot is? Bhoot. A ghost. Yes. They become a ghost. They go to the planet of the ghosts. But those who worship me come back to me. Now the difference is all the other three are temporary situations. They're not actual refuge. And then he describes how easy bhakti is. Bhakti is very easy. How hard is it to get water? And to survive, you need water, isn't it? So he says, if one offers me patram, just a leaf, pushpam, a flower, some water, palam, some fruit, if it's offered with love and devotion, I'll accept it. So Krishna is actually saying, anything you can offer that is vegetarian, he will accept it if it is offered with love. So that's how easy it is to worship God. Simply offer your food to God. Very simple. You need to eat anyway, but this way it becomes karma free. Because even if you're eating vegetables, you're still taking. But if you offer back to the divine, then you're karma free. Shubhai shubhai paleva mokshase karma bandhanai. In this way you are free from all karmic bondage, Krishna says. Yat karoshi, whatever you do, yat ashnashi, whatever you eat, yat juhosi, whatever you give away, whatever austerities you do, whatever work you do, just do that as an offering unto God. Tat kurvas madarpanam ashubha. And he says, sama. Sama is where we get the English word same. What language family is English from? It's called the Indo-European language family. So what does Indo mean?
India.
Yes. English comes from India because English has Sanskrit roots. Something that boggled the world. Everybody's minds exploded when they learned about this in 1786 or 96, one of the two. So sama is where we get the English word same. He said, I'm equal to everyone. Samaham sarvabhuteshu. I'm equal to all. But those who love me and serve me with love, I'm a friend in them and they're a friend in me. So Krishna gives special attention to his devotees. How much special attention does Krishna give? Apichet sudaracho. Even if my devotee is a great rascal. He is horribly behaved. He says, Sudarachar. Achar means your behavior. Durachar, bad behavior. Sudarachar, very bad behavior. Sadureva, he tells Arjuna, you have to consider him a sadhu. Now Arjuna is scratching his head. What kind of craziness are you talking? The badly behaved person is sadhu? Shipram bhavatmi dharmatma. I will quickly make him a sadhu. That you do not have to worry. The sour, hard mango. Is it going to stay that way? Just let it sit there. And the process of growth, it'll become soft and sweet. So the process of devotion to God, bhakti yoga, cleanses the consciousness and makes someone very saintly. Arjuna, you declare this, my devotee never perishes. And he says, this process of bhakti is for everyone. Women, children, even businessmen. He says, he means Vaishya, Katha, Shudras, even the working class, everyone can achieve the highest destination by this process of bhakti. What to speak of then saintly kings and priests? And he ends the chapter saying, just always think of me. Now, is that easy? Gopis were always thinking of Krishna. They were trying to forget Krishna. They're always thinking of Krishna. For maybe 1 millisecond, they can try, they're hoping, we need to forget Krishna. We are too much emotional about Krishna. And maybe we're hoping and praying 1 millisecond we can actually remember God. So always think of me. Is that easy? Not very easy. So then he gives next level. Mad bhakto. Become my devotee. Follow sadhana. Do japa 2 hours daily. Do worship. You say, no. That's not easy either. I don't want that either. And he says, Mam Yaji, worship me. Every day offer some incense, some flower. How many people are doing that nowadays? Not many. Say, oh, incense is too expensive. It's a few cents per stick. I have movies I want to see. And then he says, okay, Mam Naskuru, just offer your obeisances to me. And so hopefully we can all do that, offer respects. Sometimes many people that come to the temple, but they'll stand like this. Like, I am Lord. But like this is best. Creates different mood in the heart. In this way you'll surely come back to me. Krishna is saying. So all this is done for, we're doing this pious chanting for the benefit of Mataji. Hari Om Tat Sat. Thanks a lot. Hare Krishna. Any, you have any questions, anything? Okay. So now, I'm going to take the prasad and we're going to make a nice plate and we'll ask her to come. I'll do the offering for her.